Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert.
Ladies and gentlemen, my next guest is a Peabody Award-winning journalist who has spent decades covering the Supreme Court and legal affairs for National Public Radio. Her new book is Dinners with Ruth. Please welcome Nina Totenberg. So lovely to have you on. You are a national treasure of America's radio soundscape.
Thank
over
you.
On NPR. But now, I can't believe... I find this hard to believe, but now you have written your first book
after all this time.
Your first book. It's called Dinners with Ruth. It's available now. And it is about your relationship over the last 50 years with Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
It's awesome. Thank you.
It has a
longer title. It says, A Memoir on the Power of Friendships. And it's not just about Ruth and me. It's about the women of my generation who came up when we weren't trying to break a glass ceiling. We were just trying to get a foot in the door.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Hadn't even gotten to the ladder yet?
And so... It's about my friends, other friends besides Ruth, male and female, mm-hmm. and my late husband and my now and forever husband, one hopes. Mm-hmm. And so it's about a life of friendships, especially the most famous of them is Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
How did y'all first become friends?
I was brand new assigned to cover the court. And I picked up this brief. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand it. It turned out to be... It was her first brief in the Supreme Court.
So she's not a justice at this point.
No, she was a professor at Rutgers Law School. And she had written this brief that argued that women are covered by the 14th Amendment guarantee to equal protection of the law. And lo and behold, for the first time ever, the Supreme Court bought it. But I didn't understand it. So I called her up and I got an hour-long... lecture. I ended up sort of like a goose whose liver was now ready for foie gras.
She just jammed legalism down your throat.
Right.
Well, you had to balance being the friend of a justice with covering the Supreme Court. How delicate of a balance was that, and did you always get it right?
We got it right all except once when she didn't want me to ask her about the mean thing she said about Trump. And I said, I'm sorry, Ruth, but I have to ask you. That's my job.
Sure.
And she was very cognizant of that to the point that my husband, who's a surgeon, was a medical confidant for her. And I didn't know what was going on when she was getting sicker. And... at one point, she called me from the ICU after she had been operated on for lung cancer. And I'm waiting to do a TV hit. Mm-hmm. And she calls, we're in the restaurant, and she says, Nina, it's Ruth. I'm sitting here having a better consommé than I have any right to expect in a hospital. P.S., she had a chest tube in. And she said, and I'm calling because I wanted you to know why I had forbidden David to tell you what was going on. Mm. And it was because I didn't want you to be trapped between your obligations as a journalist and your friendship for me. Mm. And that is the way we always operated. we each knew that we had a different role, and because she wasn't a member of Congress, and she didn't work at the White House, and she wasn't running for office, the rules were fairly clear.
Well, you've said that being, quote, a witness to history is an elegant way of saying that I am a gossip.
That's true.
All right.
That's true.
So let's dish, okay? Chief Justice Roberts, in the past week, Chief Justice Roberts and Elena Kagan have expressed opposite views on how decisions affect the legitimacy of the Supreme Court. So where do you come in? Do you think the court has an innate legitimacy that should be respected, or do they have to earn it through the value of their decisions?
Well, I think they do have to earn it, and they have earned it. And we're at a, you know, we're at a very important tipping point for the court.
Well, what do you make of the people who call into question the court's legitimacy at this point? Because it's so divorced from the will of the people, given how the court was constructed over the last decade.
You know, we could have a long conversation about what the role of the court is. It's to interpret the Constitution. But this is a court that's more conservative than any court in, I think, probably 90 years. And it's also what one scholar called the YOLO court. You only live once. And some of these folks, act as if they're going to be gone tomorrow because they're grabbing cases like there is no tomorrow.
How does Roberts, behind closed doors, he seems publicly quite determined to keep the idea that the court is an apolitical institution and that there is amity in the court. Behind closed doors, what do you hear as somebody who reports on the court?
I think after the leak in the abortion case, the court is very not a happy place. It's always, to one extent or another, a somewhat dysfunctional family, but they have to live together for the rest of their professional lives, and they make the best of it. I'm not sure they're making the best of it at the moment.
There was a time when even people who had vastly different judicial views got along very well. Here's Antonin Scalia and Ruth Bader Ginsburg on a trip together in India. Do you think, what was their friendship like?
They were very close and respectful friends, even though they disagreed, not all the time, but in some of the biggest issues, they disagreed. And anybody, I mean, I loved Nino Scalia, as he was known. He was my friend, too. And in that picture, you'll see, where's the picture?
Again? I'll get it out here.
So, the picture. So you'll see he's in front of her. Mm-hmm. And so I once interviewed them. It's my favorite interview I ever did. I did it on stage, of the two of them, for about an hour and a half. And I asked them about that picture. And he said he was in front of her because of seniority. And she said that she thought it had something to do with the distribution of weight.
Dinners with Ruth is available now. Nina Totenberg, everybody.
This has been The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. If you're enjoying The Late Show Pod Show, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. And for more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more. And Late Show Pod Show listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.